Proverbs 3:13-18. If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, so much for this family, for all of the good gifts that you have given us. Help us to have grateful hearts. Give us your wisdom, Jesus. I just pray that our ears would be open, tuned into your voice. And I pray that you would speak through JJ as he reads us your word and helps us understand you more. Thank you so much for this church and for the power that you live through us. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Oh, awesome. Go ahead and grab a seat, you guys. I'm so thankful for that prayer, Christy, because I feel like that is exactly what the book of James, this letter that James wrote, is able to help us do if we want it to, and that is to grow in our knowledge and understanding of who God is, and also to help us grow in our faith. To help us grow, as James would put it, I think his main word here is wisdom. So as we've been going, we have seen things that James has brought up. How are we going to look at trials? How are we going to look at temptation? How do we look at people when they walk through our front door? Or how do we look at people when we see them on the street? Is there something that naturally we show favoritism here, this and there? James is trying to help us see that oftentimes what we naturally do is not what we would do if we are growing in our maturity. Or that what we would naturally do often isn't the most helpful thing or the most wise thing. What we naturally do, we can look back and be like, man, dang it, blew that one again. Which helps us, and James helps us to see that it is by, like even what we were singing in those songs, by the power of God working in our lives and through our lives, we can be normal people who make dumb decisions, but we can come back to this place where we can go, God, please help me. I want to grow. I want to see people as you see people. And we start by saying, Lord, I want to see myself as you see me. Because we're our worst critics a lot of the times. And so as we're growing and thinking about this stuff, James just goes thing by thing. So we're like topic by topic, but they string all together. And this overall word for James is growing, becoming more wise, more understanding, or helping us to choose to make the right decision. So I've titled today, Choose Your Produce. Choose Your Produce. Not like you go to the store and you choose your produce, but it's you want to choose what you produce. Choose what comes out. This is speaking of character. Character has been defined as the person you are when no one is watching. Ralph Waldo Emerson, wrote this. He originally wrote it, but Stephen Covey, who wrote the book The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, if any of you have ever read that book, I can tell just by looking at you. Everybody in this room read that book. You look like highly effective people. But he says this, sow a thought. So to sow is to plant. So you sow a thought, you reap or you harvest an action. You sow an action, you reap a habit. You sow a habit, you reap a character. And you sow a character, and you reap a destiny. This is, you guys have probably heard that before, but it's a way of saying you produce kind of what you go after. The things where you, where your strongest thoughts are going, where your actions are going, where you're not just what you hear, but the things that you do and the way that we live is producing something. And if you are, well, probably all of us can see how this plays out just in the normal span of our life. So think about yourself right now. I'm going to use myself as an illustration because it's easiest to think about myself. I think about where I'm at right now in my life. Now, I can think about where I've come from, but I can also think about, you ever thought this? Where I should be. Oh, I thought by this time in my life, I would be here. I thought it would look like this. I thought there would be this much in the bank. I thought there would be this much percentage body fat. I thought this would be like this. I thought this would be like this. And then when you get to this place that you were looking at back in the day when 42 was like really old, when you're like, I hope I have my retirement set up by then. Then you get to 42 and you're like, yeah, let's send it. Anyone want to go snowboard tomorrow? You're like, oh, retire. I still have to be thinking about these things off in the future. It's different when you get here. So this process of growing, it's kind of, it's about living in the tension of what you think it should be, what it actually is, what you project to the world, and what did I put? Living out the tension of where you're at and where you've been, where you feel like you should be, and where you're actually at, and what you think versus reality. That's kind of like walking down the street versus an Instagram post. It's like life is not all highlights. It's just life, the reality of what it is. It's important to think about this because what you do comes out of how you think about this. What you do stems from who you are. What's going on the inside, as we looked at last week with our words, because what comes out, Jesus says that stuff was already in there. And what you reap, you reap what you sow, or you could put it like this, what you grow is what you cultivate. What you are cultivating and maintaining, those are the things that you're going to grow. So we take that thought. Last week we heard, words can be this, highly destructive. Words can also be this, life-giving. We want to choose our words. We want to choose what words we're taking in. And then this week is a new message, but it's a carryover of the same thought. Well, how do I do that? And so James goes right into verse 13. He says this, who is wise, James 3, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. He's really saying this. Who's starting to get what I'm saying? We've been talking about trials. We've been talking about temptation. We've been talking about the way we look at the people around you. Do you treat them strictly based on their appearance? Is it based on skin color? Is it based on their socioeconomic status, whether they look like they're balling or not, and they can help you accomplish what you want in life? Or are you looking at people as though they are beautiful, created in God's image, treating? He's starting to say, do you see what's going on with your words? How some of those things that were said to you as a kid, they like really marked you and they put a deep gouge in you, but that's not who you are. Are you starting to see yourself as God sees you? And he's like, so who is wise and understanding amongst you? Who's starting to understand and get what I'm saying? Who is wise? I love this word. It's one of my most favorite words ever. Because you don't have to be smart to be wise. Wisdom, you could also write it like this. And some of your translations might put it like this. Wisdom equals ability. Someone who is wise has ability. Because wisdom is not measured by degrees, but it is measured by deeds. It is not a matter of acquiring truth in lectures, but applying truth in your life. That's what wisdom is. And James is kind of coming in heavy on the leadership of the church in the last chapter, in this chapter, because he's saying there are plenty of leaders that lead congregations, that have some sort of oversight in people's life. There are plenty of people who know, but they don't know how. Plenty of people who know the answer on paper, but don't know how to live it out in their lives. That's what's so awesome about Jesus's church. Because Jesus's church isn't found just on paper, it's lived out in practice. That's why we love God's grace. Because even when you make a mistake, when our heart is like, Lord, you have done these things for me, you have died for me, you have given me new life, here's where I'm at, here's where I feel like I should be, but Lord, this is all you get, it's just me. And as you take a step of faith looking towards Jesus, that's how he works through us, and that person can gain wisdom. Why is it that there are leaders that know but don't know how? They can stand back and tell people what to do, can stand back and point the finger at others. Remember, we were looking, be doers and not hearers of the word. And one of the biggest problems of that is when we look in the mirror, which James likens the Bible to a mirror, we look in the mirror and we see someone else's reflection. Like you read a verse that's kind of convicting and you immediately think of, oh, Johnny should hear that. Oh, that person. We look in God's word that's a mirror to show us and we see someone else's reflection. It's a tendency to see other people's reflection and not our own. And if you don't see your reflection, you never grow. If you don't put it into your daily rhythms, your daily practice, if this right here stays in the, well, how did I put it? In the upper floors of hearing only, when this is actually things that are meant to be lived out at the street level of our lives. When these aren't just concepts that are placed in a book that's like, wow, that sounds really cool, but these are actually things that come in through the head, down into the heart, out of the hands, and out of the feet. And then he says, not just wisdom, who has wisdom amongst you, but he gives it an adjective, he describes it. He says, the meekness of wisdom. Meekness is the way in which wisdom is lived out. It's the attitude. It is the way to not bring glory to self, but glory to God. It's thinking less about your purposes and thinking more about God's purposes. So if James is saying, all right, who's starting to understand that what I'm talking about is lives that are lived not to build up for yourself, but are giving glory to the Lord. He says, this is wisdom. This is growth. This is meekness, which my favorite definition is muscles under a t-shirt. It's like the really buff dude at the gym. Apparently. I haven't been to a gym in a long time. But I used to go once upon a time. And there would be the dude in there, really buff, you could tell by how much weight he was lifting, not by how hard he was flexing in the mirror. Meekness is like that. It's like an undercover strength. It's the way in which strength is delivered. It doesn't have to be proud, doesn't have to be boastful, showing it out there. It just does what it does. And that's what James is saying. Who's wise amongst you? Is there a meekness? And he's going to describe what he's talking about because people are like, well, yeah, I think so. I really think I'm meek. Like my most favorite thing about myself is how humble I am. I'm really proud of that fact. He's saying, well, this is what wisdom looks like. And people who learn how to exhibit this kind of wisdom, not the boasting kind, just being. Don't have to talk about it, just do it. You don't have to talk about how good you are, just be it. Don't have to say, I want to be a blessing to people. You just be a blessing to people. You just do it. People who exhibit this, you can attribute one of my most favorite sayings. And it's this: someone who is wise beyond their years. Someone with more knowledge and experience than most people have at their age. Because you don't have to know a lot to be wise. Someone who is wise beyond their years is someone who has a depth of experience, put something into practice. You know the first person in the Bible that is talked about being very wise, having a great ability? As a matter of fact, the first person in the Bible that says he was filled with the Holy Spirit of God, filled with God's Spirit, wasn't in the New Testament. Was way back in the Old Testament. And I took this out of my notes because I didn't think that it would fit, but it fits perfectly, so I'm going to give it to you real quick. There was this dude, and I forget his name because it's hard to pronounce, but the very first person that was said to have had the wisdom of God and all ability wasn't Moses, wasn't Abraham. It was the guy who built all the furnishings for the tabernacle. God told Moses, God spoke to him on the mountain, you're going to build this place of worship for me. There's going to be this gold thing. There's going to be the tabernacle. It's going to be these dimensions. I want it made out of this wood. It needs to be, it's detailed if you look at it. And then Moses is like, got it. He's like writing it down. Yep, sweet. Tent, perfect, gold, lavar, don't know what that is, but we'll figure that out. The ark, okay, we'll get that, gold, yep, made out of gold. And then God says to him, hey, go find, what's his name?
Bezalel.
What is it?
Bezalel.
You're right, you're so smart. Google, thank you. Bezalel. I was going to say, yeah, because it's real close to another name in the Bible. So Bezalel, he goes, go get Bezalel. I have filled him with all wisdom and ability to be able to build all of these things that you need. See, wisdom is not knowledge. It's knowledge and ability. I love it. So then he's going to, now James is saying, this is what wisdom is. So here's this theological statement. Here's like this heavy statement. Now he's going to say, do you have it or not? Something to look for as you look at inventory in your life. And then he brings application at the end. Like, okay, sweet. Now we can see where we can take this. Verse 14. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, don't boast and be false to the truth. So now he's going to give some metrics. Metrics is the ability to measure something. He's going to give some earthly measurements and some spiritual measurements, some natural versus supernatural. If we want to ask ourselves, am I starting to get what James is saying? Do I see growth in my life? Is there a wisdom? And he says, first of all, he goes, well, look at yourself. How's your jealousy meter and your selfish ambition meter? How do I know if I'm growing? First thing you need to know, spiritual growth is hard to measure using natural metrics and vice versa. This is what James was addressing. You think you're growing, but you're growing the wrong thing. Bitter envy and self-seeking. These are the exact opposite of meekness and wisdom. These words, bitter envy and self-seeking, they actually refer to someone who has a critical, contentious, fight-provoking manner. Critical of others. Contentious. Always looking to have an opposing viewpoint, to have its way in a fight-provoking manner, like, if you don't agree with me, you're fired. See, cancel the... It's in the church. It's out of the church because it's in the human heart. The human heart naturally wants to have its own way. And so James is saying, hey, if you think, and it's hard because some would say he's speaking actually directly to the leaders of the church with like a lot of this tough stuff. It's like a pastor's conference in some way. So he's saying, oh yeah, you guys, yeah, you're growing. Look at the jealousy. Look at you measure your church against someone else's church. Look at you measure, you're using these natural metrics to measure human growth. What's a natural metric? How many Instagram followers you have. That's a natural, not a supernatural thing. So if you measure your success as a business, as a brand, as a photographer, as just a person, by how many Instagram followers you have, you're set up for selfish ambition because you focus on self to get a product out that people like, and selfish, critical, contentious, fight-provoking manner. James is saying, if you see some of this, perhaps you're not getting it, so don't fool yourself, he says. Don't boast and be false to the truth. Because here's the reality. It's easier to fool yourself than it is to fool others. It's easy to be like, I'm fine. It's the world, it's these people that have a problem. I'm just doing my thing, but other people who know you, they're like, man, there's something going on the inside of you. There's something that's happening. He says, don't boast and be false to the truth because you can only fake it for so long. Then he follows up and says, this is not wisdom that comes down from above, but it is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every other vile practice. I love how Proverbs puts it. Proverbs 14:12 kind of simplifies that, and it says this: there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it is the way to death. James is saying, he's going to get to cultivation, but he's basically saying, you're growing in wisdom, no matter what. You're growing in wisdom. You're growing in your practice that produces results. You're either growing in a heavenly wisdom, which he's going to describe in a minute, and we'll see what is some byproduct of that, or we're growing in an earthly wisdom. What is this earthly wisdom? Earthly means doing things that will only last for this life. Doing things only focused on the here and now all the time. That is earthly. Just doing what you have to do right now. Doing what you can just for yourself, just for your life. Sensual. This means a life that is not only focused on self, but focused on pleasure. A life that is wrapped up in what you want to get, what is on your agenda, your reputation. It's got to be your idea. It's got to be done your way. It's just focused on pleasure. Your life is built around those things that make you feel good. And then he drops the hammer and he says it's actually demonic. And you're like, dang, dude, how could you go from something just being unhealthy to of the devil? What he's saying is it's devil-ish. This is how the devil acts. This is his whole agenda. Did what he wanted to do, what is right for him in the now, based on his pleasure, what he wants. And it actually, it's not, it's actually really cool for us to be able to read that because it takes us to a place where I'm like, okay, well, where did the devil's wisdom enter into mankind's storyline? If this is from somewhere, from a person, and we have it and we have to battle with this in our lives, where does this come from? And you can actually go all the way back to the beginning of the Bible, to the Garden of Eden, when life was perfect. Man and women were together. Man and woman were together. They were whole, meaning there was nothing to hide. There was no sin. There was no shame. It was, life was good. And then a character enters the story and brings something with him. This is where Satan told Eve that she would be like God. Matter of fact, he says, this is the wisdom of the earth that is sensual and demonic. It's this thought, here it is. Do whatever works for you. Just do your own thing. Do it your way. You know what's best for you. Just do your thing. James says that when we live that way, this is actually very confusing for ourselves and very confusing for, do you see? For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, verse 16, there will be disorder, or this word could be confusion. You're going to be real confused if that's how you live, living for yourself and living for, trying to live for God. If these things are not aligned in your life, it's a real hard, it won't bring contentment in your life, that's for sure. It's not going to bring a wholeness in your life. You will really struggle with identity, purpose, what am I doing, feel like you're spinning your wheels. So that's where James is helping us. So I just started thinking, how what are ways to tell? I think here's a couple of good ones. Do you rejoice when others succeed? So I'm like, jealousy and selfish ambition. I'm like, that sounds like if you're taking over a company or you're in middle school. But the reality is it's all throughout life. How do you feel when someone else succeeds, when someone else gets the promotion? So happy for you. Or when someone else is blessed, when someone else gets a raise. Or do you have secret envy and criticism? That should have been mine. I should have got that. The reality is, I see the latter part of that more than I wish I did in my life. If I could just be real. You're happy, but at the same time, you're like, I wish that was mine. I wish I got that. Feel like I've been working hard. When's my big break going to come? What James is trying to tell us is, when we see these things happening over and over and over, those cultivating these practices are not going to bring out the things that we ultimately want in our life. Not going to bring out the things that God ultimately wants in our life. It will choke out the things of the Spirit. Then he says, here's spiritual wisdom. But the spiritual wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. So, selfish ambition and jealousy, earthly. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy, good fruits, impartial and sincere. So we see where we get worldly wisdom. Where does somebody go about getting this? This sounds good. I'd like to be a little bit more pure. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I like that. That sounds good. Peaceable. World peace would be awesome. I could use a little bit more peace in my spirit, peace in my household, peace in my heart. Gentle. Yeah, that's. I would like people to be gentle with me, open to reason. So it's like we like these things. Wisdom from above. This is wisdom from God. Where do we get this? We'll jot down three quick places if you're looking to cultivate spiritual wisdom in your life. Number one, we get wisdom from Jesus. Sounds cheesy, but it's true. It says in Colossians 2:3, speaking about Jesus, it says, in him, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. If you want to grow and see some of these things coming out of your life, Only God can do it, but he's saying that there's a place where these things can be found, and the person is Jesus. So this takes a lot of the pressure off, because it doesn't say, go out and get some purity and some peace, and if you don't get them, you're failing. He's saying Jesus has these things on offer for you. Here's the other things yelling at you all the time. Look at what they got. Look at what they got. Look at what's happening over here. Look at who you're not. Or the pride. Look at who you are. Those people don't have nothing. But there's a wisdom that comes from Jesus that's available for you if you like. And that's awesome. The second one is we get wisdom from the Word of God. And that 2 Timothy 3:15. This is Paul talking to Timothy, trying to encourage him in his life, and he says, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus. You want to surround yourself by people that are wise? Surround yourself with people that love the Word of God and spend time in it and are trying to make a point of cultivating the Word of God in their lives. Because here's the third part. We get wisdom from others. Others who pursue Jesus in their own lives. I heard someone years and years ago, because I remember I got saved, and I'm like, dude, I don't know what I'm doing. I just know that I was like this, and I feel like God did this thing in my life. I want to know more. I want this. I know what this tastes like. I've been down this road this whole first part of my life. Didn't like where I ended up. Jesus came into my world, and I'm like, this is what I want. And so as I'm just doing what's in front of me, I'm like, hey, someone's like, hey, there's a Christian conference. You want to go to it? I'm like, kind of, yes, I'll go. So I go, and I'm sitting there, and this one dude stood up, and he goes, hey, who in here wants to grow in your faith? And I'm like, I do. I didn't yell it. It's a Christian conference. You have to sit like this. You're not allowed to show any emotion. You're not allowed to smile or raise your hand or be like, yeah, man, that's good, or what? You don't make sense. You're not allowed to do any of that. You just got to sit there. And so I was just sitting there. Someone's like, who wants to grow? And I'm kind of like, I want to grow. And he goes, here, well, if any of you wants to grow, find some people you want to be like. They got some stuff going on in their life that you like that, would like to experience a little bit of that in your life. And then you go hang out with them. You go spend time with them. People make millions and write books, and they say things like, you show me your five best friends, and I'll show you where you are in 5 years. You know, or you're the median income of your five closest friends. All these leadership books and business books. What they're saying is, you will. Parents, when your kids hang out at that one kid's house and they come home talking like that one kid, you know, man, hanging out with people rubs off on you. We get wisdom from hanging out, doing life together with people that we see something in their life that says, you know, that looks pretty good. For as the Bible says, we are one body. We have many parts, and all the members do not have the same function. So we, though we are many, we are one body in Christ. And if we open ourselves up, not to our own agenda, but maybe who Jesus is and what he would want to bring out of our lives. He says some pretty cool things right here. Maybe there would be some purity, some absence of selfish motives. Maybe there would be a little bit more peace. How awesome would it be if we lived in a place that wasn't constantly looking for hills to die on, but bridges to build with our neighbor, with the person next to us, with a differing opinion? There'd be a little bit more peacemaking. That there would be gentle. The wisdom of God is gentle. He knows how to, the man who is, or woman, who has a gentle wisdom, one commentator says this, they know how to forgive even when it's within all of their rights to condemn. It shows a gentleness. It makes me think of mothers, actually. It's the opposite of abrasive. Open to reason. This means willing to yield. This means doing it someone else's way, even when your way is better or good. It's the opposite of stiff and unbending. James is saying true wisdom is not rigid, but willing to listen and skilled in knowing when to yield. And then full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, sincere. This is, I like that word, sincere. It means real. You know, I think one of the greatest compliments someone who is a Jesus a follower can be given is that their spiritual life and their regular life are like the same thing. When someone says, you know, you just kind of seem to be like this all the time. Who you are on Tuesdays, who you are on Sunday. If you invite someone to church, you're not going to like turn into this crazy person at church. You're just going to be you still. And when they see you at work on whatever day, you're just kind of still the same person. You have issues, you're going through stuff, but there's a steadiness, there's a realness to you. You know, I don't know what 2021 looks like, but I know that after 2020, I really believe that people are searching for what is real. Like, I've been told what is cool, I've been told what is popular, but they're looking at, like, what is real? What has substance? James is saying this person who is given over to a life in the Lord will attribute these things. People are hungry for these things. All right, we'll finish off here. The difference, earthly wisdom, focus on self. Godly wisdom, focused on God and others. And a harvest of righteousness, verse 18, is sown in peace by those who make peace. This is a really cool verse. A harvest of righteousness is sown in peace. So you have two things right there that are far apart. You have the sowing, the planting of seeds, and then you have a harvest. You have a lot of stuff that happens between when you plant seeds and when you harvest. I know that. Married the farmer's daughter. I know about planting stuff and then harvesting. When all the corn that is getting ready to get planted comes available in late August, there is a lot of corn all at once. So we'll have a corn stand. You guys can come over to our house and buy some. Put my kids through college. But the planting and the harvest, he says, sown in peace by those who make peace. In between the process of planting and harvesting, there is what is called cultivating. You got to pull weeds. You got to get in there and you got to yank everything out that doesn't look like corn. If you want to grow corn, you planted corn, you want to pull the things out that don't look like they should be there. I like that James ended on this because it gives us an amazing amount of hope, and here's why. We oftentimes can't choose the things that were planted in our lives. Like, here you are at this place in your life, you wish certain things would have gone different for you. You wish maybe certain things weren't said. You wish maybe certain decisions weren't made. You wish maybe that certain things that happened wouldn't have. You can't go back and there's no do-overs. You can't go back and take that back or do it again. Or you didn't pick your parents. Maybe your home life was very difficult and there were things that were said or things that were done that you're sort of a product of some of those things because you've been carrying them with you your whole life. But that wasn't your fault. You didn't do that. We can't choose some things that were planted in our lives. Last week we saw that sometimes we actually can't control or choose the things that come out of our mouth, our product that comes out. But we can make some decisions with this middle part, that cultivating part. with the here and now? And what do you want to be doing with the things that are in front of you now? Here's some of the stuff you've been given. Let me just tell you, you are not a byproduct of your past. I'm living proof. And I have to remind myself that all the time. I'm not those things. I'm who God says that I am. I'm trying to listen for God's voice to tell me who I am, what he wants to see in me, how I don't have to worry about myself, but I can actually worry about someone else and help somebody else and extend myself in this place. But we can choose the things that we cultivate. So I want you to just write this down. Think about it this week. What would you like to see in your life? What would you like to see in your life? It'll help you to see, are you cultivating your own thing? Or are you actually seeking God and asking him to cultivate his will in your life? That's what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus. It doesn't mean like, boom, I'm on the Christian train now. I'm going this way. It's actually just this way of saying, Lord, I'd be willing to like let my thing go if you could show me what your thing is. If I open your word and you could speak to me and give me some direction, if I would be willing, I'll trade it in a heartbeat. This crappy car of selfish ambition and conceit, and be willing to receive some peace in my life. That's an upgrade for sure. And if you're looking for spiritual growth, could I encourage you to stop measuring your success with the world's ruler? You're going to be so frustrated if you think that popularity equals wisdom, or if you think that money equals godliness, or if we use the things that the world uses to measure success with what God uses, because he uses maturity. He uses things like peace, joy, faith. So let's pray. Here's what I want to pray. I'm not going to say it. Steph, we get done. She's like, don't, you said all the things that you wanted to pray. Just pray and then say them while you're praying. All right. So let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Lord, I want to pray for myself and our church family and our friends and anyone who's visiting this morning or whatever, Lord. I just want to lift up everybody in this room who is able to go through your word together today. And I want to pray that you would cultivate some of the things that you would love to plant in our lives. Lord, we know all too well what selfishness feels like. We know all too well what the comparison, living a life of comparison feels like. When you can literally live every day comparing yourself to the rest of the world in so many ways. And Lord, we want to live our lives based on who you say we are, not on who the world says we are. Not on what certain metrics say is success, but what you say is success. But Lord, to be honest, sometimes if we don't know you or we may not know what that looks like. So I just want to ask everybody in here, if there's something that you're like, man, I would really like to know the Lord better in this year. I would like to know what it is to have peace. I would like this wisdom. I want to grow in this way. I just want to pray for you. So if you would just slip a hand in the air and I can be like, yeah, sweet, me too. Yeah, for sure. Yep. Awesome. Yeah. Great. Lord, me too. Would you help us to know you more, not just about you, but really know you, Jesus. Not just to have knowledge on paper, but practical wisdom lived out. This is who God is in my life. So we thank you. Please bring out what you call the fruit of your spirit, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. We need those things, Lord. So we look to you. We follow you today. We worship you with these songs, with our offerings, our financial offerings that we give to you, Lord. We give you worship. And we love you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. We're going to sing these last couple of songs. And if you do want to give any offerings, we're not passing the bag. No COVID passing in here. But there's an offering box in the back.